Well, God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. I just want to pray. Stand up with me if you would, please. I promise not to make this too long, but I feel in my heart something that the Holy Spirit wants to do, something powerful in our hearts, in our individual hearts, and let's just believe that God has something good for us. And season. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your powerful Holy Spirit and your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you are here in our midst. We thank you. We give you free reign, Lord God. We allow your word and your spirit to speak to us, to give to us that which you have for us this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, we say, yes, Lord, we receive that which you have for us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? All the time. God is good all the time. So bad, I'm embarrassed to say it. But, I mean, Pastor Roger is the one that told me what it was, so it's his fault. It's his. Why did the golfer wear two pairs of pants? Got a hole in one. Now, if you laughed at that, it was not because it was good. It's because it was so pathetic. You're laughing at me for actually saying it. Like, God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. You know, joy. When I was first saved, I was 7 years old and I received Jesus. And I remember that night, I was at Vacation Bible School. I think I shared previously the little girl down the road who I thought was cute invited me to go to Vacation Bible School, and that's the only reason why. Heard the message and got convicted by the puppets and received the Lord. And I'll never forget, it was so powerful. You know, afterwards they had us go into a little room and the counselor asked us, he said, now why, you know, how do you know you're saved? I gave the wrong answer, but it didn't matter. I knew that I was saved because God had touched me so strongly and just, I felt such a... You think, well, how much weight of sin does a 7-year-old have? I don't know, but I sure felt God's presence. And I just felt like life was new and on the inside of me, and I just felt like God loved me with such an unbelievable love. And yeah, when you first get saved, you sense that love and you feel that love, you know, and you sense that it's beyond reason, because your logic won't allow you to even know what I'm saying? I started hearing stuff like, you know, I felt like God was saying, well, you need to pray more. Well, you need to read the word more. Well, you need to do more good works. Well, now you're saved, yeah, and you're going to heaven, yeah, but now you've got to do all this stuff. Well, I fell short in every area. So I felt like I was barely saved. I felt like God was not a heavenly father. This giant fly swatter, and he was about to swat me at any minute. And it seemed like every time before I, you know, went to church as a kid, I got in an argument or a fight with my sister. So that added all that much more condemnation. And I sort of got into this habit of, yes, I'm saved, but I don't feel saved. And yes, I'm saved, but I'm just barely saved. Well, I'm here to, has anybody ever felt that? It's a lie from the pit of hell. God is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him through Jesus Christ. And he's our Savior. And he's our God. And he's able to perform and complete that which concerns us. And we don't need to be ripped off anymore by these feelings of guilt, inferiority. Guilt is the enemy. Guilt is not of God. You say, well, I've sinned and I should feel guilty. Get it under the blood and get it behind you and forget about it. Amen. For as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us, he's not going to keep reminding us of our shortcomings. The blessings of God are not for perfect people. Amen? The blessings of every good thing that God has for us. And I believe that we don't need to be ripped off any longer with these feelings of guilt, inferiority, insecurity, feeling that God is half mad at us, wondering if we're going to make it to heaven, and if we do, just barely. That's not what God is about. He has saved us completely. Amen? God's love toward us. That's what I want to talk about. This get the message. I hope that it's more than just get it, but this is an impartation that you never forget. When I first started hearing this message that God loved us so much that he made us the righteousness of God in him, that because Jesus was, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. I couldn't believe it. I thought the guy, I knew it was in the Bible, but I had been raised to say, and I've heard since I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, oh God, we are so unworthy before you. We are worms in your sight. Oh God, please. And then, you know, the more we groveled before him, the more somehow we were denying God's word and denying what the blood of Jesus had paid for us to walk in. And we didn't know it. And, you know, the natural mind cannot receive the things of God. When you get born again, it's the Spirit which has been given us. It says it's been shed abroad in our hearts, not in our minds, because your mind, your logical mind, is not gonna work. It's not gonna be able to comprehend the love of God. I want to share a couple quick verses. First one is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 in the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 in the Amplified. It says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love, make it your aim, your great quest. The love of God is sort of like the Rosetta Stone. It's the basis of all understanding of all the things of God. Amen? I mean, and there's different types of the love of God. There's the love of God toward us. Then there's our love toward him. Then there's our love that where we love ourselves. And then there's the fourth direction of the love of God where we love others. But it all toward us. And you may say, well, really, the basis of all understanding of scriptures is the laws of sowing and reaping. But really, that's based on love, too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it cannot live and bear fruit, right? So the laws of sowing and reaping work by the law of love. God's love is the key to everything, In fact, I'm a faith guy. I love faith, but faith worketh by love. Amen? And so I really, really want to focus today on the love of God. I just pray that the Holy Spirit put in your heart this morning. Whosoever will can come unto me. It didn't say whosoever is perfect. It didn't say whosoever never makes any mistakes. It didn't say whosoever doesn't sin. Short of the glory of God, being justified freely, amen, justified freely. I want to emphasize the justified freely part, amen, because the blood of Jesus bought that for us and the love of God bought that for us. And I'm tired of walking around in the past and not so much anymore, thank God, feeling like I'm not worthy, feeling like I'm a second-class Christian. The blood of Jesus. It's not about us. It's about him. Let's get our pride out of the way. Amen. It's not about our pray and read and fast and Jesus did on the cross for us. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Incredible gift for an incredible result. And that result is that we are first-class citizens in the kingdom of God. We've been made worthy. And it helps us so much in our prayer life because when we pray and we feel unworthy, we can't come before him with confidence. Loving Heavenly Father, that he wants to cares about us and loves us, and he wants us to finish that good work he's begun in us. And the only thing that can stop it is us by not believing. Amen. And the natural mind, well, I want to share another scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. I got it on my phone here. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of God, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, human knowledge, you can't comprehend this with your mind. When you start thinking about the love of God, your mind goes tilt. So how can you know with your heart? With your heart, because your mind is going to say, for it's going to probably say one of two things. The first thing it's going to say is, it doesn't make sense. God can't love me. I've messed up so much. Anybody been there? Lift up two hands and one foot. Or the other thing is, God, I've been serving you all my life. I've done everything you've told me to do. That's called self-righteousness. One is self-condemnation. The other one is self-righteousness. That's where your mind is going to get you before God. And it's going to short-circuit the love of God. But your heart, the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, is going to understand and comprehend. You're going to be able to comprehend what your mind. And he sealed you with his Holy Spirit. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are accepted in the Beloved. And the greater one lives on the inside of you. And you are destined for greatness. Hallelujah. And you are his child. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Amen? And God is so good. And I want to walk in the fullness of his goodness now, not when I get to heaven. We're not going to be any more righteous when we get to heaven than we are right now. The blood of Jesus was already shed for us. He did everything he's ever going to do to make us righteous. And guess what? It was enough. It was more than enough, because our God is more than enough. And so there's no need for us to. God has, that what Jesus did for us was not enough. Amen? Because it's about him. It's not about us. It's not about our performance. It's not about our ability. This makes it so easy to come before him and praise him and rejoice before him and say, God, you're so good. God, it starts getting fun. And, you know, instead of praying, because of God, but not to earn anything, not to earn his favor, but you're enjoying his goodness, and you're enjoying his love, and you're enjoying his intimacy, and you're enjoying, and then when you ask him for something, there's an assurance there. There's an assurance there, because you're abiding in his love, and he's abiding in you. And there's a comfort there. And there's an eternal thing that gets planted. Eternal. And it'll never go away. I hope I'm explaining this as much as I'm feeling it. Because I'm feeling it so strong. And I believe that this is for everybody here. Amen. So first of all, we say God cannot love me. I'm too sinful. That's self-condemnation. Or I've done so much for God. He must love me. That's self-righteousness. That's why we can't reason God's love with our heads. We just can't do it. That's why the Bible says, we just read, it says that you would understand the love of God, which is not understandable. That you would comprehend his love, which is incomprehensible, because your mind can't comprehend it. But you can renew your spirit and your heart to sense it. Amen? Amen. God is so good. You know, the love of a parent toward their kids. I mean, yeah, we're human, so we get. Love is so strong. That love is so forgiving. That love is so all-pervasive that nothing can break it. Amen? There's a bond there. It's so much more our Heavenly Father. I said so much more our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. I was just sharing with a friend. And you know, I knew he was pretty new age. I mean, just based on the stuff he said. And I just felt like sharing with him. I just shared with him a couple days ago. I've known him for a couple years. And he's a guy from work. And I just, shared with him. I gave him a Billy Graham track. He goes, "Thanks, I really appreciate his philosophy," and I'm just sort of listening to his atheistic philosophy. He says, "But if there is a God," he says, "but if there is a God," he said, "I trust that maybe evil and that I'll go to the good place." And I said, "That ain't gonna work, bro. You wanna know what? And you don't have what it takes to get to heaven. You need to receive the free gift of Jesus. That's why he made that sacrifice." Amen. And so I shared that with him in a friendly manner, in a compassionate manner. And I just trust that the Holy Spirit. And but so often people get into that trap of their own performance. Amen. Good just how we are. God made us good. He does all things well. Hallelujah. So human logic will never lead us into God's love. It will usually lead us into self-condemnation or self-righteousness. So the way we know the love of God, Christ, which surpasses knowledge, is to first renew our minds, get our minds out of the way, and second, believe his unreasonable love, which is shed abroad in our hearts, not in our heads. You know, I want to share something. I have to skip some of my notes here to get to it. But I'll get to it here. I have wondered in times past why sometimes I feel so overwhelmed by God's love and sometimes I don't. Have you ever wondered that? You know, sometimes at church when I was a kid, and sometimes I wasn't asleep as a little kid in the church pew. They're singing some song, Rock of Ages, or maybe something a little more peppy. And I sense God's love. Other times, I was sleeping. Why is sometimes and God doesn't love us at other times? No, I believe he wants us to trust his word because his word is a fact, whether you feel it or not. In fact, when you act on his word and say, "Thank you, Lord God, I know that you love me. I thank you, Lord God, that you sent your son to die for me. I thank you that you so loved me that you sent your only son." And you start sensing in your heart that love welling up. The Apostle Paul said in all his letters, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Except to Timothy and Titus, he said, grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you. It's interesting that he didn't say in his greetings in all his letters, he said that. It's interesting that he didn't say, love be multiplied unto you. Why is that? Because love has already been multiplied unto us. It's already there. All we have to do is simply feel it. Whether you feel God's love, whether you feel his mercy, doesn't matter. It's great when we do. And I'm not knocking those feelings, those wonderful feelings, but the fact of the matter is the fact of the matter. Jesus Christ sealed his love with his blood. Amen? And there's no reason for us to go around feeling. I haven't even fasted in quite some time. How can I expect to be healed by God? Well, it has nothing to do with your fasting or my fasting. It has everything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with his character. It has everything to do with the price he paid. And that's what makes Christianity different from any other religion. Any other religion, because all other religions, you must perform, you must earn, you must do something in order to earn. All you have to do is receive. We do good works, but we do them because we're born again, because we've been given a divine nature that's on the inside of us. Amen? Not in order to earn a divine nature. We do good works because Jesus on the inside of us just compels us to. We pray because we love to pray, because we love to experience his love and his goodness. We don't pray to earn anything. Of his fullness have we all received. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Key to the blessings of God. And today, like I said before, I want to speak mainly on God's love toward us. Now, we realize the importance of us loving other people, of us loving God, but I just want to focus on God's love toward us today. I just really want to drive that home. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter, it says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, received Jesus, it was so simple, it was so good, it was so pure. Like I said, I felt like I received, I felt the love of God. I didn't have to do a thing to receive that. It just happened. But as time went by and as I started getting religiously trained at church and realizing, I realized that I had to perform. I got just like any other dead religion. Not that much. Not that much. In the book of Colossians we just read, it says, as you have received Christ, so walk ye in him. Walk in him just exactly how we received him. Amen. Keep that joy. Keep that simplicity. Keep that enjoyment. Jesus wants us to enjoy all good things. Amen. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to be free of self-condemnation. He wants us to be free of doubts. He wants us to be free of wondering, well, is God going to answer my prayer or not? Does God love me or not? Does God love me today? Have I done enough to please? I don't know about y'all, but like I said before, for many years during the first part of my life, and when I heard that good news, when I heard that news that I was accepted in the Beloved, I said, could it be? Could it really be? Could it be that God is that good? He is that good. Amen? And so as we have received him, so walk ye in him. Simple. No complexities. No. We do the works because of who we are, not to be something. Hallelujah. This is so simple. It's the most simple, but yet the most profound part of the gospel, of the word. And so many Christians are walking so short, so far short of the riches that God has for us. So much anxiety, so much lack of peace, so many sad thoughts, so much hurt, so much guilt, so much suffering. It doesn't have to be. It's all a construct in our minds. And all we have to do is love a God that he has already shed abroad in our hearts and acknowledge that. Hallelujah. God is so good. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. It says, but God God loves you much, much more now that you're saved than he did before you were saved. That sounds sort of weird, doesn't it? Better have scripture and verse for that one, Ken. Okay, let's read this. Toward us in that while we were yet sinners, verse 9, much more than being now, does it say much more than? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Much much more now. See, before we were saved, we were enemies of God. But even then, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he loves sinners with an immense love, but it says much more now that we are saved. Amen. He loves us with an incomprehensible, love. Let's continue. Much more now than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more be. So Paul repeats it. Much more. Man, that just sounds too good to be true. But it is true. And it is good. And it's better than we can comprehend. And as we rise up and walk in it, boy, the joy level will increase. The peace level will increase. The intimacy level with our God will increase. Our prayer life will be much more rewarding. And our thoughts toward God will be much more joyous. Amen. Our peace will be greater. Amen. It was when we first got saved. Amen. Just as simple. As we received him, so we walked. Decision to walk in that? Can we make a decision to benefit from those truths? Can we make a decision that says from this day forward, I'm going to walk in that truth more than I ever have before? I'm not going to deal with condemnation. I'm not going to deal with guilt from past sins, present sins, future sins. I'm not going to have to deal with that because the blood of Jesus cleansed me from all sin and all unrighteousness. And it's made me a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new species of being that never lived before, that never existed before. It made me a partaker of his divine nature, made me an heir to the throne and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Somebody say that Jesus is my elder brother. I almost bolted for the door. I thought, for sure I'm in a cult. Until he quoted scripture and verse and said, Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Who are those brethren? Who are those brothers and sisters? It's you and it's me. And we've been raised up and seated in heavenly places. Raised up, not just theologically, but experientially. As we understand that, it affects how we pray to him. It affects how we appreciate him. Oh, perfect love casts out all fear. We have no fear not in being afraid of God. And he's our God. Such a good God. And he's such a good provider. And you don't have to be anxious about God's provision. You don't have to be anxious about the future. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. We acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our paths. Amen. Our path is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter to the full day. Our path will get brighter. He'll lead us and help us. Is this doing anybody any good besides me? I'm enjoying this. Hallelujah, God is so good. I'm tired of seeing the body of Christ deal with all these works trips and all this sex. Amen. I'm keeping this short. I'm keeping it to the point because I believe this point right here. If we just get this, and if we just get this in our hearts solid, we will have accomplished what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. Amen. More, much more, much, 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 much more now than before we were even saved. And he loved us immensely back then. Romans 5, 8 through 10. Hallelujah. God is good. Now, Ephesians 3:19, we already read that, but it says the second part, and we'll read the whole thing again, and to know the love of Christ. Too many Christians running around today that aren't filled with all the fullness of God. The devil has ripped us off. The devil has told us a lie, and we've bought into it. But not anymore, because we know, we can know the love of God, which is beyond knowledge, which is beyond know it. Our hearts sense it. God isn't holding anything back from us. We don't have to do anything else to get everything he's got for us. All we have to do is just simply receive it. Jesus said, come to me like a little child, just like a little child. Just like a little child comes to his loving parents. Mom, I need a hug. Mom, I need some candy. No. But to come before God just simply, and realize that all the promises of God are yea and amen. And that but Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that love him? And another one of the Gospels says, give good gifts unto them that ask. For if you ask, anyway, you know what I'm saying. I'm going to misquote a verse. I got written down. Some thoughts on the love of God. How do we know the love? And by sensing that love which has been shed abroad in our hearts. There are four directions of the love of God. God toward us, us toward God, us to ourselves, and us to others. All are important, but it all starts with the love of God. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Did he say that? He said, the second is like unto this, love your neighbor as yourself. It's sort of a two-part, even though he calls it just the second, love yourself, not to love yourself in a selfish manner, but we can says love your neighbor as yourself, amen? But we're focusing today on God's love to us. The more aware we are of the love of God, the easier it is to receive from him. And I want to be a receiver of every good gift, every perfect gift, amen? Everything that God has for me. The more we know God's love, the easier it is to love ourselves and others. A few more thoughts. We don't need to pray for God's love. It's already been shed abroad in our hearts. Sometimes we don't. But his love is always there, always strong. His love will never change. Hebrews 13:8, is it? God's love for us is enduring. God's love for us is forever. God always will accept us. He will always view us through the blood of Jesus. He will always view us as he views Jesus. Because Jesus says, as you have loved me, so have you loved them. As you have loved me, so have you loved them. Hallelujah. God is good. God's love. God keeps no records of wrong. Neither should we. God keeps no record of wrong against us. Neither should we. We don't have to have a list of all the and allow the devil to keep reminding us of all the times we've failed God. For as far as the east is from the west, so has he far has he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to close with this. Got a little story. A sister, she's a sister in the Lord. She's been hurt at church, so she doesn't go to church anymore, but I sense this. And praise God, maybe she'll start going to church again. But she's one of my bicycle friends. I ride my bicycle a lot, and so I have quite a few bicycle buddies around the area. And I was joking about her because she had been riding bicycle in this area for 20 years. And so I was teasing her about it, and she got very, very mad at me. And she called me a jerk, and it hurt my feelings because I really love her and I just cared about her. And I said, I'm sorry, but she was so mad she didn't receive that apology. And so I thought, well, what the heck? I mean, if I got lost, I would expect to get teased a little bit too. And so my feelings were hurt. And she said, Ken, are you going to talk to me? I go, yes. She goes, are you going to forgive me? Yes. And then I started realizing, I got to love her with that same love. I'm so glad Jesus isn't that way. I'm so glad Jesus wants to talk to me. I'm so glad he's excited about talking to me. I'm so glad he forgives me in a split millisecond. Amen. And we have to walk in that same love and that same forgiveness toward others. We can enjoy it, but let's let others enjoy it around us. Amen. Let's let them see that love.